It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
On the third and final hour of the program, it's 7 minutes after two. Good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for sticking around. I'm hoping you're enjoying the music and the conversations we're having. Do apologize, we could not have our conversation with Pastor Njangase. We were supposed to be chewing on chapter 20 together, but it didn't happen. And my producer was working hard behind the scenes. It did not work out. Now we're moving on to our next conversation. Pastor Pasmo Munga is joining us on the line to give us some perspective now on our conversation today. We're talking about the art of gentleness. Persuasion. I like that phrasing, the art of gentle persuasion. Remember, it's in the context of our daily focus for the week, which is talking about being unequally yoked, particularly with our friends. And I suppose the concept emanates from Paul talking about yokes and in the context of matrimony, but we're talking about just that, being unequally yoked. So Pastor Munga is joining us to give us some perspective on this. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you, my brother. It's a pleasure to be invited to this conversation. Good afternoon to you and to our listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Since we are talking about the art of gentle persuasion, perhaps sharing your faith shouldn't feel like a sales pitch, right? It's about gentle guiding others toward the truth through your actions mostly and your words, I suppose. So in this discussion, I want you to be fully aware as a listener that we will be discussing things of that nature. We'll explore how to be persuasive in sharing your faith without resorting to pressure and tactics like those. That's why we have Pastor Pasmo Munga to talk to us about just that, the art of gentle persuasion. Describe what this art is, Mfundisi. What is gentle persuasion?
Thank you very much. In the first, by merely saying art, it means it's a science. Okay. It is something that you and I need to learn. And when you talk about gentle, meaning gentle is an adjective, is to describe the kind of persuasion that you have to do. Okay. Meaning there can be aggressive persuasion, like in sales, there's pressure selling. When you pressure someone and even before they can make a good decision, say, no, I think because of this pressure, let me just buy, how much is this? Oh, 10 rand. Mm. Here you are, and then I go. But when you talk about gentle persuasion, you are talking about persuading someone in a humble way, in a cool manner, in a way that is not confrontational, in simple ways, in a friendly way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Perhaps at a different time, we might want to discuss the distinction between art and science. I've always been of the view and have always been taught that science is not art and art is not science, but you're sharing with us some interesting points there that we'll have to discuss at a different time. Let's talk about today's conversation, which is the art of gentle persuasion. How can you, or how would you guide us towards discerning when the time is right to share your faith with a non-believing friend?
Thank you. At the beginning of the day, it is important for us to pray to God. I pray always that the Lord will open my eyes, spiritual eyes, to know and to see the opportunities for serving Him. It is God who opens our eyes. Maybe you can be in a bus and you hear a heated topic that people are discussing. Mm. And that may be an opportunity for you to respond that what they are talking about, I have an answer, or I can make a contribution. So there's no outright answer that you can say, when you hear this, then you know this is the one. What is important is that we need to be led by the Spirit at the beginning of the day, each day, that God should lead you. And then we also need to know that sharing our faith should not be like a program. It should be like a lifestyle. Mm. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you are ready to engage with each and every person around. So we need, in the first place, like I have said, the Holy Spirit to be with us. Mm. He is the one who opens our eyes to hear you now speak.
Right.
And
right.
Even what you saw, it is the Holy Spirit who leads us, who opens our spiritual eyes, that here you have to say something, you have to contribute to this
right,
to this topic, yes.
Forgive me, Mfundisi, I don't know whether it's on your side or whether it's just the network. There are some clicks that are happening on our lines, whether it is if this was a landline, I'd say perhaps the cord is hitting against your phone. I don't know what's happening, but it was just interrupting you as you were talking. So we're not able to hear nicely what you were saying. But it sounds like it's gone now.
Is this still coming now?
It's gone now. You sorted it out. Thank you very much. All right. So we are continuing from this. So what are some of the ways to introduce the gospel in a natural and non-confrontational way during conversation? And I need this personally because I've been told that I'm somewhat confrontational. So please guide me. What are some of these ways that we can use to introduce the gospel in a natural and non-confrontational way during a conversation?
I like it, like I have said, when you take the gospel as a lifestyle. If I wanted to discuss with a non-believing friend about the Ten Commandments, I will not open the Bible. I'll go to the current issues, like talking about crime.
Okay.
How can we address crime in Zambia? How can we address crime in South Africa?
Right.
Stealing, robbery, you know, all those vices that surround crime.
Right. Right.
And then also discussing the impact of crime on the economy, the impact of crime on us as individuals, that you are in your own country, you are in your own car, but you are always afraid. During the day, you are afraid someone can attack you. In your home, someone can attack you. And as we discuss this, even getting statistics, official statistics about crime, its effects, and then I inquired, how do you think we can reduce or minimize this crime? And this is when I introduce one of the sure ways, a sure way of reducing crime is obedience to the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Respecting life, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Respecting another person's property. If everyone in South Africa, if everyone in Zambia decided to be law-abiding, crime will reduce to zero.
Right.
And it is possible. So we are talking about the real issues that are affecting us. What I'm trying to say is that we should not separate the gospel from real life.
Right.
That the gospel is on its own and then our secular life is somewhere there. No, it is one and the same thing.
Right.
So when people are encouraged to be law-abiding, you are helping the police. You are helping the government. The government will spend less money on policemen, on soldiers, on prisons, and this and that. So the gospel should be something that is part of day-to-day life.
Okay. So do you have some tricks, perhaps, that you would suggest for us? Tips and tricks on how to do that?
You ask someone for sure, like these controversial topics, abortion. What did you think about abortion? You just ask a friend, right. What did you think about abortion? The statistics are showing this is rising, this is happening, this, and people will reason. And then you talk about life. If from there, you can persuasively, like we have said, you introduce the Bible topic, but abortion means this. Abortion means this. After someone has reasoned, and then you get to the scripture. Now, abortion is about life.
Right.
But what about this? What about a child who is 13 years who has been impregnated by an uncle?
Right.
What did you think about that? What about someone who is a victim of rape and then they become pregnant? What do you think about this? So you are talking about the issues of life.
Right.
And then how do you solve this? And then you bring about the Bible. What did you think about when the Bible says thou shalt not kill?
Right.
What do you think about this when the Bible says, when Jesus found this woman and then caught in adultery and then he says this? Don't you think this is the best way that we can approach life? So in other words, we are saying, what I'm saying, the gospel is beneficial to your life, to your day-to-day life. But not that the gospel is that beneficial when you are in church. No, the day-to-day life can be better when we live the Christian way or the biblical way.
Okay. So how can you respond when a non-believer or a friend who is a non-believer questions or challenges your faith?
Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, says you have to be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have.
Absolutely.
You have to be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have in you. And at the same time, We also need to be gentle. Like you have said, we have said, talk about gentle persuasion, because some people at times they can be sarcastic. Remember Paul in Acts 26, when this pastor says that you are mad because of your, when you are sharing his faith. Hmm. And someone responds and says, no, I think you are out of your mind. You are mad. Paul gently responded, no, I'm not mad. And then he continues the trend to share the faith. So we have to respond. I like the way they do it in court. A lawyer, when they are interrogating you during prosecution, they make sure that they annoy you. Because when you get annoyed, your reasoning also becomes affected.
Okay.
So you maintain your cool, and as you maintain your cool, you are able to respond in a calm way. Because some people may be provocative deliberately. I heard someone who was testified saying, no, when I came to this church, I went to this church with earrings, I went with bangles, necklaces. I just wanted to test how these people, how they will receive me. Mm. But the way they responded in a gentle way, offered me a seat. He had a glass of beer. I said, oh, you've got a glass of beer. Can you put it in the fridge here? Can you do this and that as you attend to church? And he says, because of that gentle reception, I am today an Adventist.
Mm, they kept his glass of beer in the church fridge.
Yes. Someone enters the door with a glass.
Yeah.
Says, I've come with a glass of beer. I want to be drinking this beer. He says, no.
Nice.
Please, we can keep it for you here.
Yeah. Okay.
And he never even drank that beer. He says, that was the last. I never even tasted that beer. I just wanted to test how these people receive.
Very interesting. Interesting indeed. I would love to.
And I'm wondering how many people go through our doors just to come and test us every Sabbath.
I'd love to have conversations and learn from the elders of the church. So talk to me, Mfundisi. How do you respect a friend's differing beliefs while staying true to your own Christian convictions?
Thank you. In the first place, we have said this is persuasion. You are inviting someone to your faith. And as you invite to someone in your faith, it's not automatic. It may not be there and then that these people will accept what you say. So even when someone maintains their own way, they have to be, their stand should be respected. I respect your no. I respect it is what they call to agree to disagree. In other words, I will not take this person who has not accepted my beliefs, what I have shared, to be an enemy. I still maintain the friendship, and I still maintain that this person has got the right to hold on to what they believe in.
Yeah.
But the seed we have been sown. And above all, it is not me to convict. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts. So you planted the seed, how long it will germinate, it is not up to us. So even when someone still continues in another way, we still have to respect that.
So people always talk about these conversations. It's more important for you to listen than to speak. And I don't know how you're going to witness if you're not speaking, just listening. Talk to us about the role of listening. What role does listening play in effective witnessing to non-believers?
Thank you very much. Actually, I'm designing a course. I think maybe we should be offering the course of next year on listening.
Yeah.
We have a lot that we have talked about, written about art of speaking, but listening, I think there's less that is talked about. Now, when we are talking about listening, we are talking about active listening.
Okay.
When you listen with your ears and you listen with your body. So you listen to the ears. You can hear because someone's speaking.
Okay.
But now when you listen also with your body, with your everything, you will also ask questions.
Okay.
You'll be nodding. You are showing this person that I'm listening to what you are saying, and I'm also interested.
Right.
So when you actively listen to someone, you are saying, I love you. And as you ask questions, you are actually asking questions because you see some pause. Someone is saying, no, there's evolution. There was a ball of fire, and from that ball of fire, life came out.
Right.
And you ask, from a ball of fire, life came. Then where did that ball of fire come from?
Right.
you are showing this person that I'm listening to what you are saying. And because I'm listening to what I'm saying, I'm deriving these questions. And then you find this person who may also start to say, I've never thought about it in that way. Why? Because you are listening actively. And because you are listening actively, you are able to bring out what the other person has not even deeply thought about. So listening is very important. Listening, I would say, actually is life and death. Because even in a workplace, if you have got someone who cannot listen, of course, some people listen so that they prepare an answer to respond. But when you listen without any bias, it shows that you love the person who is speaking.
I hear you.
And because you show that, that means this person will be, this person can listen to me. I remember being in a conversation with someone. I don't think they can do it again. Listening for 1 hour, 60 minutes, someone is speaking and you are not saying anything and you are just listening. And at the end of the day, you respond. And so listening is very important. It shows that you love that person.
Okay. Got it. I hear you. Thank you very much, Mpuni. It's Pastor Pass Mwamunga. Thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to our conversation. We still have more. 2 days to go, you and I. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. Thank you very much, Mpuni. Have a wonderful day further.
You are most welcome, my brother, and our listeners. God bless you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.